another edition of Imagine Publicity On Air. This is your host, Delilah, from ImaginePublicity.com. We're a social media management company that, on occasion, brings together the socially conscious and the media. I always look forward to bringing listeners information, and I love having guests who are personally knowledgeable about a topic. And today, I'm doing something a little bit different than the usual interviews that we do with authors or issue-driven advocates. I'm talking with an average U.S. citizen about the ramifications of the Affordable Care Act. It's just a few years short of Medicare eligibility. My guest, Debbie Hodges, has been put into a position, along with, you know, a lot of you that are listening and a lot of other Americans, to we're either going to go in debt to pay for health insurance coverage, we're going to pay it either through the ACA, private insurance, or we're going to go uninsured and pay the penalty. We're going to go into her personal challenges, both physically, financially, and discuss how she has run out of options. And we're just going to get down and dirty into the subject, and I want to welcome you, Debbie, to Imagine Publicity On Air. Let's just open this can of worms and get down to it and figure it out if we can.
Well, hi, Delilah. Thank you so much for having me on. I certainly appreciate it. I've, you know, trying to be an advocate here for those people that are opting out like myself, and it's hard to get started in doing that. I mean, with the Affordable Care Act being not affordable for me and certain other people, I decided to take a stance and keep writing the paper about different things over and over again when they'd have something come up about the Affordable Care Act or bring up some kind of knowledge to them, whether it's statistics, whether it's prescription reviews, whatever. Companies.
Let listeners know that you recently did an interview with the Virginian Pilot in Virginia Beach and made front page news with it. And there were other people other than yourself that were interviewed for that. So it's not like you're the Lone Ranger out there.
No, that's very true. I mean, I just happen to be somebody who is ill, and these other people were relatively healthy, and you know, it's hurting them. I mean, for example, one of the Virginia Beach residents, his premium went from $416 to $541. He did sign up for the January premium, then decided to drop the policy, and he figures, heck, I'll pay the $1,200 to $1,500 penalty come 2017. And it's the first time he's gone without insurance in 25 years.
Wow.
If he can stay healthy, it's easier to pay the penalty, were his exact words.
Well, before we go too far, can you give our listeners a brief background on your specific health challenges? I mean, you can go into what you want to and not go into what you don't want to, but, you know, how long have you been dealing with these health challenges, and what does the future look like from a medical perspective?
Well, first off, let me say I contracted a rare disease, but it's not uncommon, called idiopathic acute transverse myelitis in 1997, where I was left paralyzed. And by the grace of God, I mean, most people with my condition do not recover from a wheelchair. I was able to walk again with several deficits through a lot of IV steroids and a mix of cocktails and all that other good jazz, which as time went on, it took a toll on my body. If anybody knows who's been on massive doses of steroids, it does tend down to break down your bones. So with that said, Johns Hopkins, and I'm not doing a plug for Johns Hopkins Hospital, they are the number one hospital in the entire world for transverse myelitis. And with my neck breaking because of the massive steroids, I had to go into Johns Hopkins as of 2013 and have a bracket inserted in my neck and a bone graft holding my neck up. It's just one of the issues of how my disease degenerates over the time period, whether it's my neck, now it's my back, whether it's my knee. You know, it's taken a toll. It makes it very difficult for me to have a full-time job because of these issues and, you know, extreme IBS related to the TM. And so, therefore, I've applied for Social Security disability, and I've been denied, saying that my disease is not not something that they feel that I can't go to work on, which obviously, given what I have to pay or would have to pay for health insurance, having a full-time job wouldn't even pay for that. So,
well, you know, I mean, for the many years that you went through getting IVs, steroids, and everything surrounding recovering from this disease, I mean, did you have good health insurance at the time? How were the bills paid? I'm sure that, you know, going through everything that you did, the medical bills were astronomical, right?
Oh, absolutely. And by here again, by the grace of God, I worked for a wonderful, wonderful company who kept me on board when I had this disease come up, and they were just wonderful to me. And they, when I was able to start back to work, they kept me on board. They worked with me through my disability, which I don't think another company in the world would have done. But these two private gentlemen that own the company, and I'll say it for the record, the Lapmans, Norman and Stanley, were extremely extremely just caring and loving with me and knew that I did a good job for the company. And in return, whatever I had to give them, I gave them back during my tenure, and I had great insurance through them.
Well, after, I mean, did you retire from this company and retain your benefits? Or after you left that company, did you have private insurance?
Yes, what happened was is I got married during the time I was employed, and so I was on the company's insurance and then my husband's insurance, and so I was double covered, so to speak. So when I retired from the job, well, actually the company ended up being sold and the previous buyer bankrupted it, we were all left without employment, and I was able to be on, I was already on my husband's health insurance, so then it took care of everything for me.
So up until last year or the year before, you were, you know, pretty well doing okay as far as coverage for your insurance, and you know, to keep on going to doctors and to keep on repairing things, so to speak, that resulted from this particular disease. But after all of that, where were you financially last year or the year before?
Well, let me take a deep breath. Through my divorce, my insurance, my former husband paid for part of my insurance, and then there came a time where I had to go to the Affordable Care Act. And I did sign up for it. I did have an insurance agent and that I worked with. I did look on my own through the ACA website to find out what would be the best policy for me. And unfortunately, because of all the doctor's visits that I have, I mean, because one thing leads to another, whether it's the colon, the bladder, the brain, the eyes, you know, all this is the arthritis, all this is related to TM. It's not just, okay, I've got one medical issue with TM. I've got several medical issues with TM that we tried to pick out the best plan that would cover me the most being sick. And we thought we found it, but nonetheless, even with my first year on ACA, I got to tell you, I took a hard hit. I was not prepared to pay the $6,500 even then that I would have to pay now. I did not know that my prescription coverage that I had to pay, I thought it was just going to be okay, like normal. All right, so here's my prescription. I'm just going to pay the deductible, the $10, $15, $30, $50 payment. But no, part of the new ACA was you had to pay your whole prescription until you met your deductible. So I was left, I mean, literally bankrupt paying $429.95 for $25, $89, $278, $345, you name it, a month, plus having to pay all my doctor bills out front. So I met the $6,500. And that was a lot of money that I did not expect to pay out. And that's something that nobody ever tells you. The website doesn't tell you. Your insurance agent really doesn't tell you. But she did warn me a little bit that there would be some things. But it was just like a realistic nightmare to me. I felt like, gosh, Alice in Wonderland, where did everything go?
Well, and I'm sure just, you know, like most of us that maybe have prescriptions that are covered or were covered by different health insurance policies, we had really no idea how much those prescriptions actually cost the person who didn't have the coverage. Would that be relatable to you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, for instance, you know, I just from my own experience in taking care of a cancer patient, I was just blown away by the fact that one particular drug that was prescribed for her was $4,000 a month. But on the other hand, I could get a bottle of OxyContin for under $20, and I don't, which she did need, you know, it wasn't something that she didn't need, but the discrepancy there, when you have a drug that is, you know, supposedly able to help the situation, possibly cure the disease, who knows, and then on the other hand, you have a narcotic pain reliever, which is necessary as well, but the disparity in the cost of them is just unbelievable.
Oh, I agree with you, Delilah, totally. And what makes it even worse, now I've just gotten into the tip of the iceberg on pharmaceutical research, and it's blowing me away, to be quite honest with you. For example, one of the drugs is Keppra XR that I take. Keppra XR, through my RX price that I was paying a deductible for last year, was $410.95, okay? Now, through the Northwest Pharmacy in Canada, that same drug is $39.39. So I went from paying $410.95 to $39.39. What's the problem here?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, just for the benefit of listeners out there who may be in a similar situation, how are you able to buy drugs from Canada or other countries?
Okay, what you need to do is you need to have your doctor write a prescription for you. Now, he has to write a prescription that's pretty well legible, and we both know that doctors don't write very legible. But you want to get the right thing, so make sure that your prescription is legible. If you can't read it, have them rewrite it so you can. And then you fax it in to whichever pharmacy you choose to go with, and it takes about 3 to 4 weeks to receive the medicine. So if it's something that you need right away, I would suggest seeing at your pharmacy, which I did. They were kind enough to, because I still had prescriptions on file with them, they were able to, like, give me 20 pills of what I might need it and prorated it. Now, I don't know if all pharmacies are the same. I've been with my pharmacy a long time, and we're very loyal to each other. So I think they did it just, I don't know if they did it just for me. I don't know if other pharmacies will do that for people, but I was fortunate that they did it for me until my Canadian drugs came in.
Right. Well, so it's not like a ton of paperwork that a patient would have to do. I mean, it's not like smuggling through the borders or anything like that. It's basically you get the prescription and you can fill it in any pharmacy that you like throughout the world?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, let me bring up something up that's really interesting. I decided with Keppra XR, for example, to ask my pharmacy how much it would cost. They said, well, you know, I was paying insurance premiums of $410.95 last year. That's what I paid out of pocket a month for that drug. When I could have got it.
That's what you paid out of pocket. How much did the insurance company cover for you? Added on to that $400?
Nothing. Nothing. That's my whole point.
Oh, they didn't cover it at all. I see.
No, they didn't. That went towards my $6,500 deductible.
Okay.
So the drugs that I, that are in the hundreds of dollars, I had to pay the actual price for. Now, who expects to, $410.95 is a car payment, Delilah.
Oh, absolutely. And that's just one drug.
That's just one drug. I know. I couldn't even go out with my friends for lunch and a movie because I didn't have any money. I was embarrassed to say, I'm kind of broke because of my drugs. Finally this year I came out just clean and said, I want to be an advocate. I just can't stand this anymore. I want everybody to know I'm in a class that's hurting. I'm in a class like other people that are just hurting here, that are spending money and getting zero.
Well, I think you're right. There's a whole class of, and I'm men and women. It's not just women. There are men and women who, don't really have the ability or don't make the kind of money that they used to. They have run into situations in life. Life happened and it took money from their 401ks or their retirement plans. It wasn't that they didn't plan right, because they did. They planned right. But when a medical situation similar to yours comes along and you don't have enough insurance or you don't have the correct insurance, there goes anything you saved. And I think there are a lot of people out there throughout the country who are in the same situation, just not rich enough to be able to afford it, not poor enough to get, resources from the government. And where do you go? You're kind of in that limbo situation where you get nothing.
No, you're exactly right. You get nothing. And it doesn't matter, you're right, whether it's a man or a woman, somebody young, somebody impoverished, you get absolutely nothing. I grew up on the belief of doing right in society, teaching my children to do the right thing. If you get a ticket, you pay for it. If this hour, this is the first time that I feel like I'm doing an injustice to my country by being disrespectful and not choosing this plan. I feel like I've done something wrong here.
How did you come to that decision to just say, okay, I'm going to go uninsured, I'm going to pay the penalty, and what's going to happen?
To be honest with you, Delilah, my heart's breaking because of my illness. I really am concerned that being without some of my meds, because I can't afford to be on the 11 meds I currently was taking. I'm trying to play my own doctor advocate here, to be honest with you, because I've had the disease long enough to know what works for me and what doesn't and what combination, which I shouldn't be playing doctor for myself, but I am, to pick and choose what drugs to be on and continue to be on that I can afford going forward. And really, it's an affordability thing. I don't care whether it was $458 last year that I paid or the $726 they're asking me to pay this year. Bottom line is, last year it near bankrupted me because I had to pay the $400, $300, $200, $400 out every month to be on medicine to make that $6,500 goal that I have to do this year. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. I want to go out. I want to live my life. I want to be able to go to lunch in a movie with my friends. I want to have a life. I don't want to be just stuck in my house, crying and trying to figure out ways I'm going to afford this or what I need to sell next or the jewelry I need to pawn and then maybe never get back. It was to that point. And I'm sure there are everybody out there in America is in the same boat as me in whatever income class out there selling things that they have no right selling that they hope to pass on to family members going forward. I was literally reduced to doing that.
Right. Well, and it, how do you speak to those people who are, they're out there. They're going to come back and say, well, you know, she should sell her house, she should sell her car, she should do this. And the truth of the matter is, it may come down to that. If there is an emergency medical situation that you're going to run into, what are you going to do?
You know, that's a good question. I have not even, how could I say this? I haven't even wanted to go there and imagine that. Because like I said before, like you said, Delilah, we, back in the day, we had our 401ks, we had this, we had that, we planned for a retirement. That doesn't exist anymore because everything's been taken away from us through the Affordable Care Act, or non-Affordable Care Act, should I say. And I don't know until I have that situation faced with me. I still have had a few things more I could sell off if I have to and if I get gravely ill. But then again, I've chosen, to be quite honest with you, to be DNR. And so therefore, hopefully, I would never be in a long-term assisted living facility, and my medical bills in the hospital wouldn't be traumatic or being placed on anybody's hardship because of the DNR.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about a show that Dateline did, I think it was last week, that was very eye-opening about people in Western Virginia. And, you know, and it's not just located there. It's everywhere. It's not, but they showcased this situation out there. They had a couple of nurse practitioners who had a broken-down Winnebago, and they're going from town to town and seeing patients who, believe it or not, are too poor to afford the Affordable Care Act. They don't even have the money to pay the discounted rates that are out there for them. So how do you speak to that? You know, if that was the premise for the Affordable Care Act, to help the people who are truly poor and truly needy to be able to have health insurance, and it's not working for them. They're not getting it either.
No, and I'm sorry to correct you, Delilah, but it was 60 Minutes last Sunday.
Ah, 60 Minutes.
It was a 60 Minutes show, and yes, I did watch that, and quite frankly, it broke my heart, and at the end of it, I was shedding tears because I don't want to give it away, and I'd like people to go back on demand and watch it, but I'm going to say it. Two of the people... One was a young man who suffered from diabetes, ended up passing away shortly after that was filmed, and the other woman who had stage 4 cancer and didn't know it ended up passing away as well, stage 4 brain and lung cancer, which just broke my heart. I mean, which broke my heart. This is why our society and this Affordable Care Act is just broken. It is broken. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not working. I mean, it's not working for those extremely poor people. My heart goes out to them. I could be one of those people in a heartbeat. I could.
Oh, yeah. I mean, millions of us could. It's just, you know, a paycheck away from being unemployed anymore. And, you know,
exactly.
That's the situation a lot of these people were in. Even, you know, even if they did have minimum wage jobs, that wasn't enough. It's not enough to be able to pay these premiums.
Oh, absolutely not. And I agree with you. And I meant to say just, yeah, there are millions of people out there in that same situation. There are millions of people that just live on minimum wage and live in a small atmosphere, or three or four people live together, you know, in a place, and they share the responsibilities and they share the food. It's almost like going back to communing in the 60s.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's a situation that is definitely, it's not going to be fixed overnight. I mean, I don't know what the solutions are. I'm with you. I don't know who does know what the solutions are. And I would love to speak to someone who has a solution for this, because as we baby boomers have come to the age where the bodies aren't keeping up with the mind, or the mind isn't keeping up with the body, or both, you know, affordable medical care is a thing of the past. Unfortunately, even when you do have the policy, a lot of medical clinics, a lot of hospitals, a lot of doctors don't take it.
That's correct. And you want to hear the real kicker? That really, I didn't know this was last year. That was another reason that made me so discouraged, was that Johns Hopkins didn't take my insurance. And I was on Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Gold. I mean, I was on their best policy, which is what I would have been on again this year to help benefit me. But, you know, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter whether you're on a $400 policy, a $300 policy, a $500, $600, $700 policy. The bottom line is still the same. I mean, it is still the same. You have to pay that deductible. You have to pay everything out front. And I just don't know how Americans are doing it. And that's why I wanted to have my voice heard. And I would love to, Delilah, welcome some advocates, you know, into our conversation to say, hey, and some senators and some people in Washington to say, hey, let's work on a fix, because I am the average human being out there in our society. And I'd like to get somewhere with this. I just don't want to stop at chatter. I really would like to move it forward.
Well, that's a good point. And if there's any listeners out there who would like to get in on the conversation or would like to offer some solutions, debate some solutions, talk about it, because if we don't have the dialogue, nothing gets settled. You know, it's interesting, the newspaper article or the interview that you did with the newspaper, all of the comment section, it was, you know, people come out of the woodwork of all different type, and some people, you know, had some very valid points and other people really didn't. So, you know, we have to find a common ground. We have to find a middle meeting point where solutions are offered that are viable, that can actually, information that can actually be used to make the situation better. So, yeah, if you, anyone out there would like to talk about this, I'll be happy to put you on the air. Contact me. You can email me at Delilah, D-E-L-I-L-A-H, at imaginepublicity.com, and I will be happy to put you on the air.
That's awesome, Delilah. And like I said, I would love to get some executives with some insurance companies. I'd like to get some politicians. I'd like to get a lot of different people out there, you know, that have the power to make a change. You know, everyday guests are great, and thank you for having me on, but I really like to see some powerful people pick up on this and help make a change, help make a change in our United States of America, the land that I love, because it's certainly hurting a lot of people, a lot of people.
Well, you know, again, how is this decision that you've made, how is it going to affect the ability for your medical care? That, you know, I know that you have to visit doctors on a pretty regular basis. Now, are these doctors going to just charge you for visits and so forth, or is there some way that you can get discounted rates, or how are you going to handle this?
Well, funny you should ask. I did, I'm in conversation with one of my doctors about writing all my prescriptions for me that I need, which they could do, and just seeing one doctor, even though they're not a specialist in all of my needs, that will help me a little bit going forward, you know, with issues pre-existing that I have in other areas with my health, such as, you know, a colon and bladder issues. We'll just have to wait and see on that. I'll just really hate to say it, let the chips fall where they may and pay as I go kind of thing.
Right. Well, you know, this is a topic that's going to be debated in the political arena for quite some time, and especially because this is an election year. But however, as we hear about this, as we watch video, watch the news, and we read about all the debated points in our healthcare system, and debating the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, they all are going to have to line up here. And Americans are just falling through the cracks. They're dying for a lack of true affordable medical care. they're going outside of the country on a medical vacation. I know of several different places. So as we close out the show, is there one last thing that you would like to give the listeners to hang on to? Is there really hope in our country for something that, you know, we feel is a right, I guess, to have medical care that is not only comprehensive and good, but also affordable?
Well, Delilah, one of the things that have always kept me and sustained me is positive mental attitude. I believe once you go to the dark side, you never come back. So I'm trying to be very positive mental attitude on this situation with our society, with the healthcare system. But like I said, it's so broken. The only way to fix it is to get a group of people together that are going to listen and not just do the talk. As you well know, because the talk is there on let's make a difference. And I think the more people that stand up in our society and challenge it, like I'm going to bat and challenging it and trying to be an advocate to make things better, I need help. I would like to see some help here. And that's all I have to say in closing.
Well, I thank you for putting yourself out there to the public, because I know it's not an easy thing to do, to stand up for what's right and to stand up for yourself with nobody else around you. So I hope, and especially in your area, the other people will come together with you and take a stand and get the dialogue going and keep it going until, you know, the powers that be make some changes. Well, thanks for joining this episode of Imagine Publicity on Air. And in the future, join me for more. Every once in a while, we come up with something that we feel listeners would benefit from, just as this show is. And I hope that next time you'll be around. See you then. Bye.
Thank you, Delilah.